Hi, I'm Liz Larson.
And I'm Bill McKenna. We're the hosts of the New Life Perspectives radio show.
We're also the creators of the Cogno Movement System, where we help you rewire your nervous system so you can rewire your reality.
Join us each week for great conversations, amazing guests, and cutting-edge information on health, consciousness, and the keys to transformation.
So one of the biggest things that keeps a person in a cycle or pattern of what they feel like is a low consciousness state is fear. But it's not for the reason you might think, because it's actually a pattern of fear and shame combined. It seems as though shame can be woven through the fabric of our entire lives without us even knowing it. And the symptoms are actually surprising. So Bill McKenna and I, we put on a big event every year. It's our Super Bowl. It's called the Cogno Conscious Event. This year it's going to be in Mount Shasta. But every year, this is where the event starts, is at the level of shame and the recognition that it's a pattern running throughout your life that you're completely unaware of. So every year when we prepare for it, it surprises us, doesn't it, Bill? The things that actually are related to a pattern of shame.
You know, it's always shocking to hear the stories of the things that are related to this level. And this level is really significant because it is the difference in between I did something bad versus shame is really, I am bad. And this feeling is like inherent that I'm bad. And when this feeling is really directed ourselves, it can become toxic and it will affect almost every area or aspect of one's life, which we're going to go into today.
Yeah, talk about that for a second, because there's this interesting statistic about the actual true shelf life of shame, its value. Do you remember that?
This is, there's one of our teachers had stated that, you know, there's the shelf life of this, you know, is about 3 seconds, you know, the meaning it's good for about 3 seconds, you know, just like, hey, I was a little off course on whatever, but, you know, let it go. Because the thing about this is that it really underlies so many mental health disorders. It's the primary driver for depression, social anxiety, and PTSD. So this is going to affect you in a very real way, your low self-esteem, this sense of shame erodes our self-worth. It leads to persistent beliefs that we are defective, worthless, or not enough. And this is really not the truth. Yeah. But we will pound ourselves into the ground with shame. And with it, it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy where we can't really even act anymore. We can't even respond to life. People that are in a state of shame often find themselves in bed a lot. Like, you know, I had a grandmother and I didn't know what it was, but she was always in bed and she would say, I'm neither fit nor able. And that's was her life.
But I think those are the obvious ones. You know, when you know someone has had something very shameful in their life. But the insidious ones are the ones you don't realize are a part of your fabric. like shame over the amount of money your parents had or didn't have. And it doesn't matter if you were poor or rich. Even in like the caste of people who are quite wealthy, the 1%, there are still some that have much more than others. And if you're on the lower end of that 1%, you might still grow up with shame that you don't have as much as someone else. And so that shame is can become the foundation for your life. And in Cogno world language, it starts a neurological pattern that everything else gets built on. And because of this, it shapes all of your actions and reactions. Like you said, Bill, it shapes how you feel about yourself. It shapes how you feel about the who you are on the planet, not just your status in life, but who you are and your value. And so for this reason, we created this event. We use what's called the Hawkins scale, the David Hawkins scale. It's from a book called Power versus Force. And over the next few weeks, we'll talk more about that. But at this event, the premise is that neurological patterns based around emotions literally run your life secretly behind the scenes. It's like the Wizard of Oz, the man behind the scene. But once you recognize them and the physical sensation that they create, then you become aware of the actions they have you taking in your life. So we start with shame. It's the foundation. And the other premise is that these emotions literally gobble your energy. They gobble your energy. And the lower levels of energy that you have available, the less and less aware you become, meaning you have less and less choice. So awareness plus choice equals consciousness level. So if you're living a life at shame, which is the lowest, heaviest, we're going to call it the heaviest, most energy gobbling emotion. If that's the foundation of your life and there's a big portion of it running, you're going to be in a state of having low energy and low awareness, low ability to see what to do next, where to go next. So we go from shame to guilt to apathy to grief to fear to desire to anger to pride. Then we shift into those are all force. Then we shift into power, courage, neutrality, willingness, acceptance, reason, love, joy, peace, and enlightenment. And at this event, it's a unique event on the planet because there's not a lot of blah, blah, blah. There's literally doing the neurological work to delete those patterns out of your body. It's a wild event, isn't it, Bill?
Well, yeah, it's wild because of the massive amount of change that takes place over the 5 days. It's very intense. You can imagine freeing yourself from the shame of your lifetime, the guilt of your lifetime, the grief of your lifetime, the fear of your lifetime of anger. So being free of all of these things, how might you feel? How might you feel at the end? There's all of these levels that we work with your brain and your body, your nervous system, to let go of the old pattern, the old belief, create a clean slate, if you will. From all the things that were not resourceful. And during this, you can imagine the connections that you make. Like, you know what? I didn't realize that maybe shame was running my life. And now that you're free of it, it becomes something like the driver is gone. For something like, you know what, I really, a lot of us, that feel bad, drink alcohol or smoke pot or whatever, because I don't want to feel this way. I just need a break. I just need, give me a timeout, and alcohol or some other drugs, give us a timeout. That's, Sleeping is another time out. You get to go unconscious in sleep. And this is kind of one of the hallmarks, of the shame, is oversleeping. They're chronically tired. Or also substances, other ways to numb oneself.
Yeah, which include some psychiatric meds or meds that people take for psychiatric issues that are not necessarily given to you by your doctor. The numbing out, the wanting to numb out can be come from the life view. The life view that comes with shame is misery. And you know what's an interesting thing is you believe in misery at this level. Now, the converse of that is enlightenment. Right? That the converse of shame is enlightenment, meaning that you don't believe in misery. You don't believe in it at all. You don't look for it. You don't accept it. You realize that everything is just the way it is and in perfect order. Like there's this beautiful trust of the universe. But when you're at the level of shame, that makes no sense. Zero sense. You would think that's a Pollyanna, ridiculous human who would ever even suggest such a thing. So humiliation is really the emotion, the prime emotion. But I re didn't realize I had shame in my life. I really didn't. I mean, I didn't have any reason to have these great parents, but my dad had this big belief in humility. You know, being a Christian, you're humble. Well, most people don't realize they're the same root word, humiliation and humility, they're the same word. So this needing to bow to everyone else comes first. You know, everyone else's feelings matter more. We were told this, like you are basically, they didn't say these words at all, but you're better than them because you know, you have this biblical understanding. And so you should humble yourself to others and be a humble servant. And that equates to shame in people's lives. So some people out there who are listening are going to relate to this and not have any idea that it's shame. And it's overgiving, overdoing, right? You know, you're the person who has to give at every minute of every day. You know, if you're invited to a party and you're supposed to bring food, maybe you bring four dishes, you know? You're the one who offers to babysit everyone's kids. You're the one who is constantly giving. And it's never in the hope of getting something back at this level. It's really to be worthy, to have value, period, to be invited to exist on the planet. That's a big one, don't you think, Bill?
That really is, it's these hidden things
Yeah.
that really keep us stuck there, and it sometimes it can be viewed even as a positive thing, and other times, maybe not. One of the big drivers here in the level of shame is avoidance of vulnerability, because shame involves fear, as Liz was saying, and that specific fear is a fear of being found out. So, as you're there and you feel that you're bad or flawed as a being, it's not like you just did something bad, you're actually flawed, that people will often hold themselves back to basically prevent any deep emotional bonds. They don't want to get too close to anybody. So this, basically an avoidance of being vulnerable. And relationships, the successful ones, you let down your guard and you allow yourself to be vulnerable. But this shame, and the irony here is that the shameful event, whatever that was, or maybe it was just a period of time of your life. The thing is that when the fear is gone and you can expose it to the light, you know, like in a relationship, it actually draws the person closer to the other person they're in relationship with. You know, when somebody's admitted something to you that was very sensitive, you know, and they, and it actually is like, oh, now they're, you know, they're closer. And that helps the relationship, but it doesn't feel that way. You know, it feels so horrible that, you know, you don't want to admit it to anybody. You don't even
yeah,
want to think about it yourself.
It's really true. When you, if you're fighting all the time in a relationship, one or both may be running a pattern of shame neurologically under the surface that is driving that situation of just not being able to be wrong or not being able to be in that vulnerable state. You know, in a really comfortable relationship, you love each other warts and all. And sometimes you love each other because of the warts, right? Their shame is like the least common thing in one of those kind of really relaxed, comfortable, easy relationships. And that's why. But if you find yourself fighting all the time, this may be the issue and you just didn't know it.
You say, you know, that was so good, Liz. You know, is your partner, or are you, and this is really hard to admit, but defensive and blaming? This ultimately comes down to deflecting the pain of being a quote unquote bad person. You may lash out with anger because you want to shift it. You know, don't look over here. Don't look, you know, behind the curtain here. You know, that's a very real thing. And, you know, it also offers an opportunity, this little piece of knowledge, you know, like, is there something? You know, this person may have, you know, gone through some things in their past.
And they may not be the things, they may not even be big deal things. Like my story, it's like, how much of a big deal is it that your parents taught you to be humble? Well, except for that, there's this underlying thing, this underlying pattern that keeps you over giving. So if you guys are listening to this and you're like, dang, I think I need to be at that event, there is a prerequisite. It is called our Essentials Program. We need you to know a little bit about the work so you're ready. And also with the Essentials Program, which is the core that shows you how to use this work for yourself and your family, you can start clearing that shame out today. So go to cognitivemovement.com/essentials, get that program right now, and then next, sign up for the CognoConscious event 2026. It is happening at the very end of September through, I think, the 4th of October in Mount Shasta, which just happens to be the root chakra of the planet and one of the most magical places on the planet as well. All right, let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network, and we'll meet you all on the other side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
And we're back. We're talking about hidden shame and the weird ways that it shows up in your life. And there was something you said early on in this interview, Bill, that I really liked and I want to point out again, highlight for everyone, is that there is an appropriate moment for shame. You know, if you're a child and you've stolen something from a store, there's this moment in which you learn that's not really okay. You feel a little bad about it for a moment, but then you learn the lesson about why not. And then that moment should be over. So a shelf life of a few seconds that's really valuable that shows us, oh, maybe we shouldn't do that because it hurts someone else. So there's a sensation that goes with that, that teaches the body, no, hot, we don't touch that. We don't do that thing. And, you know, that can be a big life lesson. When you've done something, you don't realize it hurts someone, and then you do, there's this feeling of shame. But that's about an action, not about who you are as a human. The most insidious thing about shame as a neurological pattern, meaning it runs in your system 24/7, from the body to the brain, from the brain to the body, round and round and round, determining your actions, is that you don't know it's there most of the time. So here's a funny one, Bill. If you're a human who has the dream that you fall down in public all the time, I had that one. If you are a person who has the dream where you show up naked, like we all have it at least once, but if you're a person who has it recurring again and again and again, if you're a person who has a dream about showing up somewhere completely unprepared and it's recurring, you likely have a pattern of shame running in your nervous system because it's popping up even at night. That's a crazy one, right?
Isn't that? Yeah, that really is. You know, the thing, like something like that, will stimulate the feelings of needing to isolate. This is a very natural impulse that we have to withdraw and hide, right? If for some reason you found yourself naked, you was like, oh my God, run and hide, you know, withdraw, yeah. Run and hide, yeah. Cover, you know, but this can lead to profound loneliness. As a person pulls away from their family, their friends, their communities to avoid being judged. And today, you know, there was a whole big thing back in the days of the whole COVID situation. There was a push to shame people, you know, to utilize shame. You know, if you're not going to, you know, take the appropriate action, then what we're going to do is we're going to try to shame you. And this is so, it's very, very powerful. And notice how we all felt, you know, in our isolation, and people began isolating from each other, which is, you know, obviously it wasn't healthy, not a healthy thing. So this is really something that It has multiple prongs, everything from numbing to isolating to avoiding. But it doesn't stop there. You know, for some people, it actually flips on its head. So for some people, they become perfectionists. You know, they'll be overachievers as a, you know, shielding themselves, you know, from shame. If I'm perfect, I can't be judged. I can't be found out. So some people will go the opposite way on this, which is a torture chamber in and of itself, you know, because your mind is still back there in the shame, but doing everything you can humanly possible to avoid it.
It's super interesting, that point, though, because it becomes a driver. We call it a neurological driver. So it's that unconscious, subconscious thing that drive you to do what you do, and in many cases, to be who you are. So you would say, oh, a perfectionist, that's a good thing that comes from shame, but not necessarily. When you have shame running as a pattern in your system and you are a perfectionist, it drives you insane nearly. You have to be perfect. And when you're not, you beat yourself up and you expect to be beat up by everyone around you. Maybe not actually beat up, but like, you know, browbeaten over that minor mistake. It'll be the thing that just eats you alive. There are perfectionists who they're driven that way, but if they make a mistake, it's okay. They start over. But when you're a perfectionist driven by shame, it hurts you. And I think this is another big point, is that having your driver be shame is so, so painful. And again, these big programs, a neurological program in your body, drain your energy. The level of fatigue is horrifying. And some of them we learn very inadvertently in life, like shame around food. What you will eat, what you won't eat, eating too much, eating too little, you know, when you want to eat. Like people in your life, the grown-up in your life, say the worst things, the very worst things, to a little kid, not realizing it will bring shame. Like, oh, you're a little piggy, aren't you? You know, make fun of you wanting to eat too much candy or something else like that. And that gets lodged in a little kid's system and it starts this pattern. And then anything that feels like that slight, your body will add to it, proving it out. Yep, you're a little piggy. You have no value or less value than like your sibling because you overate or underate, or you don't like the food, or you're not part of the crowd. Maybe you're a little different than the rest of your family. Maybe they're all jocks and you're a nerd. You know, the teasing that happens amongst siblings can create a pattern of shame. Right? I mean, you have 12 siblings. You were probably the giver of a lot of that teasing.
That was, you know, standard operating procedure. You know, that's what brothers and sisters, you know, at least in my, you know, we certainly had a lot of that. Not only did we, you know, if we found a vulnerability, you know, then it would be exploited. You know, like the person, you never let yourself be vulnerable because, you know, you'll be, you know, that'll be thrown at you repeatedly.
Yeah, you don't even have to be doing or being anything wrong. Your siblings may find something to pick on, like the fact that you have blue eyes instead of brown or red hair instead of, you know, blonde, whatever it is, siblings will attack you. And it seems funny. And a lot of times parents don't prevent it, you know, because they think it's natural. And it is, it's human nature. But that level of shame can actually end a person's life. I had a client who was, there were just two siblings, a brother and a sister, and the brother was older and he teased the younger sister just relentlessly. You know, I mean, probably the normal amount that older brothers tease younger sisters, felt relentless to her. And I had her describe to me the things that he did and said. And I have three brothers. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, I heard all of those. But she was so sensitive and loved her brother so much that she actually developed bone cancer around it. And it was the biggest thing in her life that her parents did not protect her from this monster of a brother. But again, when she told the slights, it was regular, everyday, run-of-the-mill, making fun, you know, not letting her hang out with his friends, you know, making fun of her clothes, making fun of her hair. But her body internalized this shame, and she did end up losing her life to cancer. By the time I met her, she was in the very late stages. And we were able to find that peace, though, for her. And she was able to make peace with her brother before she died, understanding that he never meant to hurt her in any way. And he told her that, but she could never hear it until the neurological part was removed. And then finally, this is why we say your consciousness level jumps. Finally, she's like, oh my God, I didn't know, because I didn't have other siblings. I didn't know that was kind of the normal banter among siblings. I thought you were trying to hurt me. Isn't that amazing? It's serious, the feeling state that puts on a body. And so it's very important to get it out, to discover it and get it out. And that's really what we do at this event, give people the opportunity to discover it.
Well, I think there's a, you know, there, one of our basic premises from the very beginning of Cogno Movement was that your body will express for you the emotion that you cannot process. So this comes out as different things. And in this case, right, it was down in her bones, you know, very dense, serious thing for her. Now, the whole thing with, you know, this, you know, but your body expressing the emotion you can't process, shame is very much not good for your body. You think about your life. If you've had like a lot of stress, you know, it's like, well, you know, they got sick because they were under a lot of stress. You know, we've heard this all our lives. Everybody has heard this, and the truth is that there's no such vial that you can go out and get of stress. You know, a bottle of stress. There's no such thing. It's just your basically resistance to whatever's going on, whatever is, the great news is that once this is basically relieved or left your body, it removes the driver that was driving the unhealthy thing. And one of those things is the driver for alcohol, because, you know, like we talked about, it fueling shame, fueling your addiction, you know, unhealthy coping mechanism. It also can be, expressed as whatever type of disorder around eating, from anorexia to bulimia, you know, because you're trying to medicate your way, you know, through food or drugs out of this feeling, you know, and, you know, all of us have done it. Who has not felt really bad on a given day? And then, you know, like, you know what is going to feel good is some ice cream, a bowl of ice cream. You know, you're feeling a little down. How about a bowl of your favorite ice cream, you know, to make you feel a little better? You know, we all do it. So, but it is understanding that To the degree that we have the shame running in the background, that is something, that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, it is so very true. All right. If you already know that this is an event you need to get to, if you notice that shame is running a pattern in your life and possibly running your life, go to Cogno Movement/Cogno, C-O-G-N-O, conscious. CognoMovement.com/Cogno and the word conscious, and find out more about this event and how you can get a ticket to be there in beautiful Mount Shasta in late September, early October. All right, let's hear from the good folks at the UK Health Radio Network, and we will be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back and we're talking about shame being a pattern in your body and how it can, ruin a life. It can be a strong motivator to actually succeed in life, but in sometimes a neurotic way as well. But I want to point out that shame really is like the platform that everything else is built on. So if you're a person who has guilt in your life, and they may seem like the same thing, they are slightly different, where you're blaming everybody out all the time. You have just destruction. You're condemning everything. Everybody's evil. That higher level of shame will actually combine with that and make that guilt worse. Or grief. If you're a person who has shame already, you are all obviously running a pattern of grief at the same time. The same with fear. Fear and shame go hand in hand, and they will just crush a person's ability to find that feeling of consciousness and awareness. So in our crowds, people want to maybe feel like they're spiritually awake or have psychic abilities, or hone their empathic abilities, let's say. But I'll hear all the time, like, who am I to be aware or enlightened or have telepathic abilities or any of these kinds of things? There's an unworthiness. Like, I have to be worthy to claim my natural state of who I really am. It doesn't really make sense. So the shame and fear going together will keep consciousness down faster than anything. So there's also shame and desire. If you have a pattern of shame and you want something, oh my gosh, you're unworthy. You don't deserve it in your own mind, right? Or anger or pride. They all are highlighted and exacerbated by shame. So clearing that one out, the only thing you did at this event or in your life period is clear out shame, everything in life gets so much better, right?
Yeah. And your things that you don't think that you're self-sabotaging yourself on all start going away. Even in business, if you're somebody who suffers greatly with shame, you might avoid taking some risks for a promotion because you don't believe that you deserve it, or you fear that eventually you're going to be exposed. Your self-worth is very connected. It even could affect even your health, because for a lot of people, they won't go to the doctor because They feel ashamed of their lifestyle. You know, because I feel shame, I smoke, I drink, I binge eat, you know, I'm overweight, I'm obese, you know, and you basically may lie to the doctor about what you're doing or not go see him at all because you don't want to hear it, you know, that sort of thing. Even when you have a serious symptom, this could be the case.
True, right? Many people avoid it just because they don't want to have to admit, you know, something about you're 100% right about that. I don't want to get this let this episode go without pointing out something that happens to children in all walks of life. One of the biggest reasons could have to do with religion, if you're raised in religion, is this shame about body and sex, right? Like, when a girl starts to develop, there's this embarrassment about a period starting or having breasts. And a boy, there are other things that we probably can't, you know, even talk about on the radio because it's considered shameful, right? It's dirty, but it's our regular human bodies. This is what every person goes through. And yet, because of certain social, religious, even economical norms, we put shame on our kids about talking about them instead of, well, some cultures actually celebrate these moments in life. You know, Western culture is not necessarily one of them who allows for physical maturation without some level of shame. And so that turns into some of the things you were talking about, Bill, like anorexia or even overweight or on and on and on and on the things. So there's this embarrassment about this physical body, which is your first co-creation on this planet that you very likely chose before you came, right? Uh-huh. And yet we learn. So getting that out of a life, just that one thing, the shame over your physical body, period, end of story. Like you were saying, the color of your skins. For some people, it's your height. For other people, it's your intelligence. For other people, it's whether or not you have talents. And whatever you're lacking becomes a reason to have shame. Except for that, you know, some of those things, like you can't change your height. You can't really, well, women can change their hair color. Men do too. But, you know, eye color, all of those things, like you are who you are. And if we learn to love what that is, celebrate it, we wouldn't have this bit of shame. But unfortunately, on this planet, we do have a lot of body shame. And, you know, at this event, it's one of those things that if that's you, you pluck that out of your system, because all it really is a feeling that drives your decisions, drives your perspectives, drives how you think and what you do. And it also is that feeling of stuck. I'm stuck. I'm stuck in this body. I'm stuck in this life. And the feeling of stuck is the thing I think that most people complain about, I think, the most.
Yeah, it's that's a good way of putting it, is that you just generally feel stuck. And you know, you don't really realize why, or that it could be something that happened long ago that's just simply sitting there running in the background.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, running in the background. I think that's the most important part. You're unaware. So in Cogna Movement, I'll have you share this piece with everybody. We know that the nervous system basically is equal to your subconscious. So when we mean running in the background, other people will say it's in your subconscious, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Your subconscious is not an unknown thing. You know, where can you touch your subconscious? Can you taste it? Can you smell it? Where is it? You don't know, but you do know where your nervous system, and it takes in all your information and then it creates your reactions. So we use the nervous system to change the nervous system, which changes your life because it changes the driver underneath.
And what we mean by that is that you simply no longer feel it. Mm-hmm. That's the most simple way to put it, is it literally is absent. I literally cannot access it. I can't feel it. It's done. And with that, the reversal of all of these other things that we discussed, in your life. And for many people, they don't even realize that it was the thing that was holding back, and all of a sudden their love life flourishes. Their business takes off. We have people that move to their, finally, they were stuck living in the desert, and then they move to the waterfront in Florida, in a beautiful waterfront condo in Florida where they're in love with life. You just don't think that could be holding me back. But the truth is, it's holding you back from the life you deserve. And all you got to do is just do the process. You can't help how you feel, but your nervous system, once it is given an opportunity to really let go of it, you literally won't have it again. It's gone.
Yeah, it's 100% true. And there's a lot of talk out there about nervous system regulation. And many of the programs are talking about changing the nervous system with just the brain. And the difference that makes the difference in cognitive movement is we utilize the entire system. We use your physical body as a whole to change your nervous system. And we're not just regulating it. We are deleting old programs and reprogramming it for your very best life. And what's interesting about it is that once a program is deleted, you forget you ever had it. It's called cognoamnesia. It's the funniest thing. People are like, oh, I never had that problem. Except for 1 minute ago, it was a 10 out of a 10 problem, right? Well, then it isn't. You just don't feel that way, like you said, Bill. So we've come up against the end of this episode. We've got about 30 seconds more. Would you invite everybody to this event, Bill?
CognoConscious, coming up this fall. You can get tickets at CognoMovement, that's CognoMovement.com.
All right, everybody. We will see you very soon. Until next time, be safe and be well.